This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it's Thursday morning. Thursday's always a good day in the diary because it means that we get to do the news. You know, we do politics-free Fridays, which I've started to implement here because I think that people are sick to goddamn death of politics. But we cannot, in this country, ignore some of the stuff that's going on. And occasionally it's useful to bring in someone a lot smarter than the rest of us to help us figure this out. So we're chilling this morning with Sia and with Simi, and we've got Sibongile there taking your calls. And then I decided it wasn't enough. We needed to have John Flissmas in. How are you, John?
I'm fine. How are you? It's so nice to be here. Hi, everyone. Well, thanks, Sia.
Got some love.
So heartwarming.
The Burning Platform is brought to you by Nando's. It's our opportunity to catch up with all the things that are happening in the news and to figure out through the thieving and the stealing of other people's opinions what's really going on in the world. This morning we're going to steal yours.
Great.
But this Rupert thing, the funniest line out of that is, "I'm not your Father Christmas." What a great line.
It's an old school line.
No, it's good to know. Yeah, I wouldn't like a Father Christmas coming down my chimney with debentures and, you know, share options. And, you know, it's so complicated. Everything's a board meeting. I mean, it's just nobody wants a billionaire Father Christmas. It's a mess.
Lot of work. You've got the lawyer team.
I just want a fat, white, appropriated, German, pagan, fat, obese, pedophile coming down the chimney, terrifying everyone, touching all the kids, and then having milk and cookies.
which is actually the creepiest part when you think about it.
I know, because three Muslims told him a star pointed out where the nemesis was going to be born, with a sheep and a horse, which I think is haram. I mean, the whole thing is
We're safe with horses.
Are you okay with horses? Just the pigs.
Notice, they didn't have a pig in the barn, right?
I don't think there was a pig in the barn.
Especially left that one. They've always had a problem with pigs. These
and that barn would be halal certified, my friends.
And in so many places, Jesus looked so good. He was blonde. I mean, the whole thing was gorgeous.
It's so perfectly Eurocentric. All right, but let's get into a couple of things going on, because we can talk about the Rupert thing, which seems to be what people are interested in at the moment. But nobody seems to be paying attention to the poor SABC.
No. I mean,
they are hemorrhaging from every orifice.
Absolutely.
They just had three board members resign, and I think the presidency have said they haven't yet received those letters.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful. The whole story is just more evidence of what a cock up the building is. Nobody knows who wrote a letter. Someone is shocked that they're suing someone who managed to write a letter they can't believe they wrote. They thought that was quite imperialist.
Siri, you triggered Siri.
I mean, Siri's even involved. One seems to know what's going on. The minister's angry with the three people. The three have all resigned for different reasons. I think ultimately, no one's been paid. And so everyone's just writing letters to everyone. The whole thing is just
balls
up.
There's no money.
There's no money.
The SABC is officially out of money.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about this is obviously there's some disagreements about whether or not the public broadcaster can fire people, which seems to be one of those places where you've got, you know, a lot of people who've only ever taken money that wasn't earned from the taxpayer and decided what they're going to do for themselves with it. And then people who've actually learned how to make money. And the two often inhabit different universes, and then sometimes they meet. And this is what's happened here. So you've got the public broadcaster. They have to fire people because they can't afford.
They can't pay them.
Right. There's like 1,200 freelancers that have to be dropped.
Yeah.
Which includes most of your favorite cool DJs, as Simi was saying earlier.
Right, because they're all freelance.
Yeah, and they were horribly overpaid. I can say that, having been there myself.
Right.
For back-announcing songs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think you guys should... I just supported Cloudy. I just miss him. And that's why I'm going to the High Court tomorrow to see him.
You're
going to
go and support him at the High Court?
Well, yeah, that guy's got the best quotes.
Well, that's a good reason to support a guy who gutted the SABC.
I'm in intellectual lecture.
They're even phoning me every day to see if I'll give them R1,000. They phone me religiously every day.
Apparently that stops after, I think it's 9 months, they'll stop doing that. So if you can weather that, then they eventually go away. But then what they do is, like with Ben, who does the show with us, he gets an SMS the week of Black Friday saying there's a special. Even the SABC are hopping in on that.
Yes.
We'll give you 30% off or whatever, and then you just delete that.
You get
as
all the different, like, you get all the, like, so like, we're gonna blacklist you. You'll never be able to leave the country. You're gonna get 30% off your next Pick and Pay shopping.
Like, seriously threatening.
We're gonna kill your child.
Yes.
Would you like some Vodacom vouchers? If we swap it for eToll vouchers, could we maybe? I mean, it's incredible. They're just,
so no money is coming in because obviously their commercial model's fallen flat. The audiences are leaving. They're going anywhere they can go except to the
DSTV.
SABC.
They're not going there.
No, they're not even going to. I mean, MultiChoice bought that whole SABC catalog. Remember? And now that's worthless because no one's watching DSTV even.
Even, no.
Cancelling subscriptions because, you know, people, and everybody's so patronizing. Like, they go, oh, but the poor can't afford data. Well, you know, the poor prioritize data. Mm. And they do that because that's the thing that will either stop them from being poor and help them into the economy.
Yeah.
Or it allows them to, at very least, communicate with their friends and family.
Yes.
And to get information that's somehow more credible than the rubbish that they're given on SABC and on DSTV.
Yes. Or they can send lol emojis to each other at lunchtime. There's also that when you're poor. It's very important.
Or abuse each other on Twitter, as the case is.
Throw shade, I think it's called.
But at least they're allowed to choose. Whereas with these old school media companies, like, there are three TV channels, free-to-air TV channels in the SABC, and I don't know how they're still afloat. I don't know how they were afloat 5 years ago, but now, under all of this pressure, it must be horrible to be at the SABC. I feel very sorry for people who are working there.
Yeah, it's like, it's really, you know, in the old days, at least those corridors had apartheid kind of underpinning them, so you had something to fight against. Now there's just apathy, and just, it's awful, and you go down there, and
there's
you just
no
find
creative anything going on, because they've even removed that old apartheid coffee shop, which
that's
used
gone
to be there. All the PDFs have been stolen by Claudi. They don't have a single musical instrument anywhere in the building.
They also have a very hard system of signing in.
Dude,
it's very hard to get in there. You've got to give all sorts of evidence.
Too many things.
They check your license. Yeah. They'll take the money there. There's an ATM right there. That's got no money in it. I mean, the whole thing is a disaster.
And you can't take any photos inside the foyer because it's a national key point.
And also, God forbid, any content should be created in the foyer of that building. I mean, it's dangerous. There are, like, cameramen holding iPhones.
But, you know, what's sad about this is if it was something that belonged to, like, Jacob Zuma or Claudi, we'd say, oh, well, you know, they deserve it. Like, the New Age, when that went under, and when what was that TV channel they had called?
ANN7.
And when that went, we all laughed.
ANN7.
Because we were like, well, this is, if you're dumb and you don't understand the market and you're clearly a propaganda channel, you should fail.
Or just sell it to Jimmy Marnie for money you lent him that he's never going to get.
Give it back.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, that's just complete insanity. But the SABC actually belongs to all of us. And the sad thing here is that the elections are coming up. The SABC is probably the major means by which ordinary, and by this I mean no disrespect, poor people who don't have another option will get their information.
Information, exactly.
I mean, they say something like 70% of rural South Africa is still wholly dependent on the Zulu, Tswana, Xhosa, and all the other language stations for their news. So what we're doing is we're basically saying to those South Africans in a situation where they don't have a lot of choices, we're going to give you even less information.
Yeah. And it was a really good news desk at one stage. It did a lot of work to actually clean up
the I mean, Chris Murrelling has tried really hard. I know some of these board members who've resigned now. We're trying to make the place better. God bless
them. But they've got Bongani Gibingwa on air now, guys.
But is he on?
On television. And they've got Reddy Hlabi now.
But hang on, are they on TV and SABC? I'm so out of it. All I know is Bongani's doing like 7:02.
Yeah, in the morning. And
Andy's
in the
doing
evening.
TV. You know,
that's why he left Carte Blanche.
Yeah, but we really don't have. I mean, if he's doing both.
Yeah. It's quite a lot of.
It's a lot of work for him. I mean,
it's a lot of
that's
work.
A bad thing.
They've got Stephen Curtis.
They've got Stephen Curtis on SAFM.
Yeah.
Good luck. I hope
so
it's working.
So there's that. Yeah.
Because that station's a disaster.
When
as
I
well.
Saw him after he got the job, I was like, "Is it a good thing? Are we happy for you? Or no. How long is the sentence? What did you do?
Did the Me Too movement get you as well?" Anyway, so all right, let's just look at this. The members of the board who resigned: Kanyisile Kweyama, Krish Naidu, John Matteson, if those names mean anything to you. I think we had an interview with John Matteson probably about 2 years ago.
It's a lovely, diverse bunch of resigners.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a really representative bunch
of
quitters. Black,
Indian, and white.
We're all giving up on it. Yeah.
What about this minister? Do we know anything about her? Stella and Dabeni Abrams.
We don't, but like she's not really, you know, when is there going to be a minister of, what is the official portfolio? Is it still telecommunications? And
now it's communications and telecommunications. So Cyril smashed them back together.
Right, and she's not communicating with these people at all.
No, the previous minister was Faith Mutambi, who has to have been... The worst minister.
In a world of Batabili Dlaminis and Maluza Gigabas.
She was a Dudu Mieni of communications.
Tight field, you know? Honestly.
Wow. Yeah.
To jockey for the worst position in that field, you have to be spectacularly bad.
Unbelievably cuck. Yeah.
So she really was. Now, Stella came in and we thought, well, she's combined these two portfolios.
And
she's
not Faith.
She's not Faith, so it could only be better. But it seems she's on a mission.
She's vibey.
She is trying. Us wrong.
She's trying hard to win the title. So she's fighting with everyone. She's not being honest about what's going on.
What I love is the other story we've got to get to this morning, among others. The State Capture Commission has been so exhausting. It's so tiring.
What do you guys talk about? I love that thing.
But the poor old judge, whatever his name is.
Zondo.
He is so exhausted, he needs to take a break until 2019.
Guys, come on. It's enough.
All right. So what have we seen so far? We've got Feki Mentor, Debbie C. Jonas. We've got Fanahlongwani Duduzane Zuma are going to be cross-examined, apparently. This is what they keep telling us.
That's going to be a fantastic day or two or 12.
Pravin, headlining that one.
Pravin went, then Jimmy Money went. They've all sat there and unburdened themselves.
Yeah.
It's almost like a new TRC.
Sort of, yeah. It is like a TRC, actually.
And I don't know who's... I mean, you know, obviously Judge Zondo is going to make his findings right at the end of it, but now they're going
to
take...
And no one's going to listen to them.
No.
It's also going to take like 2 years.
And of course, it's just... He doesn't have the force of law, so he can't...
Yeah. No.
He can't then say,
well, opinion.
You know, Jimmy, all you've done since you were born is lie.
You're a liar. Yeah.
Now we're going to send you to jail for it. He can't do that.
He can't.
All he can say is, all you've done is lie.
Yeah,
and then he says, "Well, thanks. Here's my report." Gives it to Cyril, and Cyril will go, "Thanks. That's done, and file that. We've tried to assuage our guilt."
Yeah, R500 million to find out that what we thought was true is true.
Don't forget, the report will be appealed. Naturally, that's the natural course of.
I don't think you can appeal
country.
A hearing.
I don't think so. But
what? There's no verdict. There's no verdict. What do you appeal?
Yeah, there's no way to appeal.
At some point, all I know is that all things get appealed in this country.
Yeah, well, that's if it gets to court.
Oh, then you're safe.
Now that we have a new public prosecutor, that happened this week.
Something interesting.
Do you think that might make a difference?
I mean, we haven't been trained as a country to get excited about a public
no,
protector.
We're not really all
sitting paws up, ears pricked. Yay! Yeah. It's like, oh, God, how's this one going to cock it up? I mean, the last one didn't even understand the law.
Yeah.
We had to school the public protector. Like, no, stop protecting us, for God's sake. Go to law school.
All right, but this one's the head of public prosecutions, not protectors. So,
yes.
Because people
true,
mix
actually.
Them up. I actually heard someone the other day saying, oh, well, you know, but Thule Madonsela was so good. No, she was never public prosecutor.
You know, we did have Sean Abrams.
That's exactly right. And he didn't know anything about the law.
In fact,
you want to know something really interesting about Sean Abrams that people are very embarrassed about saying, but it's all true? Yeah. Not one criminal has been found.
My leader.
In the last 6 months.
My leader.
And prosecuted successfully. According to the NPA, no successful prosecutions. Basically, 2018 was a write-off for them.
Yes. Well, I mean...
Because of Sean.
I think the only thing Sean did was teach ties a lesson. Jesus, did he not a tie?
He had weird...
I mean, he literally had a noose around his neck from the time he swore himself
practicing.
In. He was getting ready.
I wonder, the State Capture Commission, I mean, there have been some fascinating revelations.
Amazing.
It does seem to me like a lot of these people are... They're trying to just get, you know, it's catharsis. They're telling their stories. And look, some of it, we don't know because it's just their stories.
And
you hear Jimmy and you kind of are suspicious because Jimmy's never really told us the truth about anything. And he's saying a lot of these other guys are lying.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
they
of
are.
Course.
They all got in a room and they decided to, they were going to lie to make Jimmy look bad.
Because he's really important. So everyone's conspiring around Jimmy, which is, I think, I mean, I've the guy met that him.
They asked him, like, yo, can you please recuse yourself because I don't want you to cross examine me? And yes, then he's like, guys,
I don't like your attitude. So could you recuse yourself, please?
I'm recusing my recusal, guys. Just you continue with it, please. It's
but
fine.
I mean, it's kind of obvious to us who the bad guys here are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Guptas, it's the Zumas. And then it's all the people that they appointed to various positions.
Yes.
So that they could get their hands on the
soldiers.
Cash, on the lucre. On the that word.
The lucre. You know? Yes. It's amazing. A fakie mentor is also medicated, as it turns out.
Wow.
She's highly medicated.
You don't say.
There's a band of alcoholics who function in government, largely women, and they're just really messy drunks. They don't hold it together. You know, they drink through livers. We give them a new one. Doof, they drink through that one. Then fakie mentor starts off so well, like a dad who really means to be a good dad, but he just has to have the brown paper bag for breakfast and suddenly lets the kids down. It's like, wow. Oh, fakie, you know, we were so with you. Why? Why did you take the blister pack into the hearing? Come on. How sad. Jesus, what a strange letdown she was.
I'm very disappointed in her because she used to, I mean, look, I knew things were going downhill when she started those Facebook rants.
Yeah, that's the thing that I love Fakie for. They're long. They are long.
Very long.
You could see it was stream of consciousness. it was all like, let's just let it all out.
James Joyce.
Too much data,
too
much Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Wine and Wi-Fi. These are the main concerns of government.
I've got something to say. Opens up Facebook.
I think, look, what I have started to realize is that actually government have their own kind of DOP system.
Wow. Tell us more.
No, because there are ministers and MPs mm-hmm. and various deployed cadres throughout mm-hmm. the structures who are given... They're given money, but it's basically on a DOP system type arrangement.
Right.
Okay.
You can go ahead, spend all of this. This is yours to use.
Yeah.
We may come after you later. It may happen. We can't guarantee it won't. And don't worry about the job so much because nobody's really looking.
Right.
Which is kind of what those farmers years ago used to do. They'd say, well, no one's really looking at how we pay our staff, so we'll just give them box wine.
Yeah.
And then they'll be fine. Yeah. We'll give them the leftovers and they'll be all right. And this is what the ANC are doing. They're basically paying off caters who've been loyal by saying to them, here's a packet of cash. You've been made municipal manager of Uitenhage.
Right.
Spend.
Enjoy.
Just enjoy. And when you've spent yourself into a hole and the municipality collapses, we'll just say, eh.
But it seems to be a general memory problem, because even Pravin Gordhan said, I can't remember if, was it that Gupta brother? I don't know. Like, I know what the Guptas look like, and I've never worked with them. Like, I'm actually hurt that I'm the one guy who didn't get one gig out of the Guptas.
Yeah, out of the Guptas.
Did you not get one?
So it's two of us.
I got an iPad.
You got an iPad? Aren't you related somehow?
No, I'm Shabir Sheikh's
Shabir Sheikh. I knew it was some
sort
of dubious.
I'm the first Gupta.
The prototype.
Yeah, the prototype. Version.
That's right, yeah.
Shame, he really got a shitty deal, because if you think about it, the Guptas got out with billions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're living in, like, they're untouchable.
Yeah, sovereign wealth, yeah.
But this public prosecutor we've got now,
Shamila Batoy,
she's been at the ICC, the International Criminal Court. I wonder if that isn't on purpose, because she's going to need to pull some international strings
to phone some people.
To
you know,
get
they've done the UAE extradition deal as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but Cyril's a very long game. He's not a short game guy, and everyone's busy saying he's not a great. You know, he's a rubbish president. Blah, he's doing nothing. I don't know if people realize, number one, how hard it is to be a president.
Yeah.
I mean, ask Donald Trump. He's really, really struggling.
Very high IQ.
High IQ. It's turning him orange. But Cyril, I tell you, man, big
smart
chess pieces are moving.
Do you think so? Because I do hear this from people, and I'm not unwilling to accept that Cyril's way smarter than the rest of us. And we know he's got a tough job even within the ANC, because there's tons of these state capture type people who were they were brought in under Zuma. I mean, he constructed those party lists.
Absolutely.
And they're still there. The NEC, you know, the various municipalities, the different regions, the, what are they called, branches?
The branches.
He basically stacked those branches with his people. So
yes.
Cyril has to get down and dirty with each branch. He has to find, he also can't just fire people because there'll be a rebellion.
No. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. He traded his way into the position. Mm-hmm. He had to keep a lot of deals with the devil, I think. I don't know what he did at the conference to finally swing it, but he did something at the last minute to shock everyone and sneak that. He had to keep a lot of crooks close. So, I mean, it's just a dirty game.
And then we mustn't forget that Zuma had all the info, right?
Yes, he was the intelligence guy.
He was the guy, but he had all the info on his own people. So he could at any time say to them, if you turn on me,
I have pictures of you with box wine.
Yeah.
And your cock out.
And your cock in the photostat machine at the Christmas party.
It's not even one of those pictures that you're going to send someone with your cock out. So just be careful. All right, so the state capture continues. Apparently the commission spokesperson, Buyiselo Stemela, said that the commission will resume its hearing in January 2019, and that date will be announced in due course. So basically, poor Zondo's just exhausted.
He's like, please, I need a beach. I've got to, I'll get back to you. I don't know. I mean, look, he's retired already.
Yeah.
So he's tired. And, you know, he's like, come on, guys, I'm not like trying anyone here. I'm just listening. Come on.
I would hate to ask the guy a question. He must just have flashbacks. Sorry, can I ask you something?
A bit of post-traumatic stress disorder going on there as well. All right, let's talk about Julius, because he's also been in the news, and he doesn't want us to talk about this, but this is really embarrassing, because Julius says he's a revolutionary, and he hates white monopoly capital.
Yes.
And yeah, he's the guy. He's at the vanguard of what the poor... First of all, he's been fingered in this VBS thing, which is very embarrassing.
Yeah.
He and Floyd and some of the other EFF guys, basically they've turned Limpopo into their cash register.
Yes, absolutely.
And then if VBS wasn't bad enough, he's also in the till with Mazzotti, who's this self-confessed cigarette smuggler.
Yes, he's admitted to unlawful practices in court.
And what's so ironic is we had Johann Rupert, who's an actual tobacco...
Yeah, he's like
Empire
a legitimate
boss,
drug dealer.
But he actually has the legitimate businesses, pays tax and does all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's a problem. He's white monopoly.
He's the bad guy, apparently.
But Mazzotti, who's a self-confessed smuggler, he's the dodgy kind of tobacco guy. It's okay for him to bankroll Julius and to put his wife up in a house in Sandton.
Yes, which we all now know where that house is.
Well, the journalists who, I think it was Jacques Poe. Who revealed this, he's now apparently a bad man because he revealed that Julius's wife is living in this house and that's some kind of doxing.
Yes.
But then everybody knows where Jacques Poe lives.
Well, march to his house?
Yes.
And
wasn't that Peter Bruce?
No, but they also, he lives in Riebeek West, Jacques Poe. In the middle of nowhere. Yeah. So
yes,
no one can afford
the
bus fare.
When did your address become privileged? Who's this lady? Why is her dress a secret? You can buy a guide in Los Angeles to
where the celebrities
are. Corbin Burnson lives.
I haven't heard that name in 400 years.
I know. It's the kind of house I'd like to. I know. I love all that.
Corbin Burnson.
Why is this woman's address such a big... why is that supposed to be? The reason is because you don't want to fuck around with gangsters. That's the main reason. You can't go telling everyone where you live when you live in the back pocket of people who've made a living unlawfully.
But Julius is suckling on the teat of the very thing he says he's against.
Exactly.
To me, and then he's stealing from poor people, which he says he's against.
So
there's no principle.
VBS thing, no, it all falls apart. And you can spin it as much as you want. And the really funny part is they spent the last 2 years telling us how they're educating themselves and then go and do the dumbest stuff you could possibly imagine. So what is the point of a doctorate, Mboyiseni? You're in bed with a bunch of idiots,
crooks,
essentially. Yeah.
And the thing that bothers me, right, is that at Vodacom's awards, they had a journalism situation. I don't know what it was. I didn't pay attention to these things. But Vodacom had this presentation and a guy called Mavuso Msimang put up a bunch of slides. He had 60 slides, and one of them was that the EFF are actually enemies of democracy.
Right.
So what do the EFF do? They prove...
They smash up the place.
They prove that Mavuso Msimang is exactly right by, in Limpopo, going into a Vodacom store and trashing the place.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of Kristallnacht in Germany.
Yeah, they did it with Marx and, what's it called, H&M as well.
Yes, correct. So basically, if you say anything about the EFF...
They'll break your shop.
They'll break your... And probably you.
And probably, yes, they'll break your... Yeah.
So this is really great. So they obviously are... massive believers in democracy and liberty and freedom and personal.
We are free to break your shop.
Sure. Personal sovereignty and all that stuff. The fact is, I wonder if this is going to impact upon their support, because people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
They're really not. People aren't dumb. I get very angry when people say things about how they assume they know what poor people or uneducated people.
Yeah.
Or I know plenty of old gogos who live in the middle of nowhere particular in South Africa who are smart as a button and know exactly when they're being lied to.
Yeah.
They know how much they're owed. They know how much is coming off of their salary every month. These are not stupid people. They may not be the kind of people who do the degrees that Mbuyiseni and Julius do.
Yes.
But they're not idiots. And no. They can tell if they're being lied to.
Yeah. Well, this is where banks are looking now, is to the bottom of what they call the pyramid, where the people who micromanage wealth, because there's money at the bottom
of
the
pyramid.
Stock fells. It's sophisticated. Kind of. It's very sophisticated. It's sharing economies. It's like basically blockchain without the technology. That's what a stock fell is. It's a blockchain. Everyone in the community agrees this is the ledger and that's the ledger. So
that's a very interesting point. I never thought of it that way. It's true.
And so it's not a new thing. It's just machine amplified.
But these people can see these politicians are bullshitters, and I think that's why you see such a desperation in the EFF at the moment.
Yeah.
And let's just for a moment reflect on how stupid the DA are. Because not for the purposes of balance,
right?
But because I'm absolutely positive that they're going to see a massive drop in the polls next year as well, because they've got this cardboard guy at the front, who is the absolute essential caricature of window dressing, if ever there was.
Yes. John Steenhuisen.
No, I'm talking about
Musi Maimane.
John Steenhuisen, for all the things you could say about him, at least he would be a credible human.
Yeah.
But Musi, we don't know anything about him. He's like he even said that he wants to hearken back to the years of Mandela and Mbeki's ANC, but then he should just join the ANC, because what the DA has become is this watered down nothing.
Yeah, it's just a what is it? It's like
you don't know what they say one thing, they do the other. It's they fired Patricia. We're still not sure why. Patricia's gone and started. We'll talk about that in a minute. Started her own party.
Oh my God!
But and I didn't bring up the DA just because we brought up the EFF. But who the hell do you vote for? The only party who will go up is the ANC, ironically.
Yeah, and again, back to Cyril's strategy. I feel like he's done the right thing. He played the land expropriation card ahead of the EFF.
Stole it under them.
Taking their wind out of their sails. Now they've got to go back to the same old Rupert bullshit. You know, they've got to argue and break shops and, we're the fighters, which is stupid. The DA, no one knows what they're doing. I certainly could never vote for it. They're just, you would be totally default, like racist voting based on, that's who we always vote for. Like, but what have they done?
Yeah, but also, like, you're just a, like a blancmange, if you vote. Yeah, what are you? What are you? You know?
Yes. Even though John Steenhuisen actually made a fairly good speech in defense of people without degrees, which I thought the EFF should have done, they were like, fuck, we missed it again. Come on.
Because there are more people in South Africa that don't have degrees and are productive people and try to make a living. It doesn't, you're not better than anyone because you have a degree.
No.
We see people queuing up outside universities. It's going to happen again in January.
Yeah. Paolo Jordan did an enormous amount, for the country.
By having a fake degree. But the point is, everybody imagines that having a degree is utopia and that somehow from there on you're always going to have work. You're going to be successful and you'll make more money. It's nothing like that.
It makes people more disillusioned and angry.
Plumbers and electricians probably make more money than most degreed professionals anyway, and they make it in cash sometimes.
I can agree with that.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. We have this idea that somehow being academically qualified is the promised land.
That's the answer. It's like growth will fix everything. And a degree will...
And they say, John Steenhuisen doesn't have a degree. Like, it's something he should be ashamed of.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that 89% of South Africa should be ashamed.
Exactly. And he was never asked if he had a degree and lied. So the shame is the lying about it. That's the shame part. The not having it's not the shame.
No, it's ridiculous.
I think it's more of an omission of... I mean, they did have a policy discussion saying that if you want to be a member of parliament, you should have a degree. And it came from his party.
Well, listen. We've had MPs throughout democratic South Africa who've had... very much less than not a degree.
Yes, exactly.
I agree with that, but I'm thinking his party was saying that you should have a degree.
His party don't know whether they're a teapot or a hockey stick.
They don't know what they're doing. I mean, let's be honest, they don't know what... I was blown away when I saw Musi Maimane at the last gathering where he made less impact than it was one of the worst things I've ever fired from a human into a beer mug. It was just the worst. It was just a flopping around on a deck like a fish that couldn't find water. It was
shame.
A disaster.
You know, I really, a lot of this has to be laid at the feet of Helen Ziller. She was trying to do the right thing by making, you know, a statement about how the DA had transformed and they were attracting black voters. And now we can have a black leader. But she just chose a guy with zero
charisma. But she chased Lindiwe Mazibuko out, who actually had a point. Mm.
Anyway, so sorry, another disaster to notch up for the DA. Anyway, let's move on to other things because we haven't really finished off. I didn't know Julius's wife's name until this Mazzotti story came up.
There've been pictures of her. There were pictures of their wedding, and you know, so. But what?
Yeah, but I didn't know her name until now.
Oh right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what is it, Mantua?
Mantua.
Yeah, Mantua. She lives in a very nice house for a lady who's married to a man who's all about the poor.
Well, he donated, this Mazzotti guy, 220,000 rand to the EFF
to kick
in 2013.
Off the party, was that right?
Right. While his fellow director loaned Malema
one million rand to sort out the tax.
Right. Meanwhile, Julius says, let her stay where she wants to stay. She's not involved in anything that Mazzotti does. She's renting there. And if tomorrow you arrest Mazzotti and take his properties, she will go and rent somewhere else.
Oh, well, there we go then. That sorts it all out.
Sure.
Doesn't it sound like he's my friend, Finish and Clark? Is that not a very similar little...
Who said that again?
I think it was Jackie Celebi before he died of karma.
Wow.
it's this thing of... I love the spin because it's really bad. It's bad spin. And I don't understand how we just allow this shit to carry on. It's just like you can't live in a house of a gangster. If you're a high profile public figure, especially when you're under investigation for you, number one, and unresolved is this engineering company that's ripped off people in Limpopo.
They've never gone down that road because the road has never been built.
Yeah, smugglers paid your tax bill and founded your party. How are you not going to be beholden to them?
And VBS.
Now we're talking about VBS. Oh, and by the way, your wife rents a mansion. She's not living in the garden cottage. It's a mansion.
And can we please just put the biggest accusation of all at his feet and see how he squirms away from this one? You gave us Jacob Zuma.
you gave him
to us on a silver platter. You were instrumental. You and Vavi and the Women's League need to explain why, if you're also anti-state capture now, and you all know who the crooks are, and Praveen's a problem, and this one's a problem, and you're kicking and screaming about how bad things are in government, and how everybody's crooked, how you gave us the biggest crook of all in Polokwane.
Your last diagnosis was really shit, Dr. Boyseni.
I would die for Zuma, Julius Malema.
Can we get a second opinion, please, as a nation?
Because we don't believe your diagnosis is right. Anyway, all right, let's look at DeLille, because Patricia Shame. You know, I do admire this woman's strength of character, because I would have given up by now.
I mean, it's just, have a rest, lady.
She was
take a break.
You remember, let's just look at Patricia's history, if we can. I mean, I'm trying to remember what I can here. So she started
PAC.
Off. Right, she was in the PAC.
Right. One settler, one bullet.
And she was a firebrand.
Yep.
I mean, she
was
like this real...
feisty.
Yeah, she had energy, and she was anti-corruption, and she made a big noise in Parliament, and we recognized and immediately... And we saw the capacity this woman had to lead and to stand up and be noticed. And she was in the PAC for a while. Then she decided, she needed to start her own thing.
Was this the ID?
So she started the Independent Democrats.
Right.
Independent Democrats made some headway. They actually managed to get a few seats in Parliament, as I recall. Definitely better than Ahang or even Cope.
Oh, yeah. Great luck start, yeah.
So she was off to a head start and people took her seriously. She had a large constituency, particularly in the Western Cape. So then the DA came a-knocking because they needed to make friends. Right. And they had that situation where she and Helen were best friends for a while.
Yes.
And Helen said to her, look...
Which is, by the way, a pattern Helen is quite
always
good
very good with.
Always looking for a non-white girlfriend, just to give her a cred between Botox sessions.
And sometimes even a non-white boyfriend.
Or a non-white boyfriend.
Hi, would you like to be married to me in a marriage of convenience? And then Patricia said, well, sure, I'll marry you for this one. And she was, for a while, very successful in the DA. Yes. She had, of course, between the ID and that, she'd been the main arms deal whistleblower. She'd said there's all this, and way before anyone else, let's give her credit.
Yes.
She said there's this crookery and this thievery and this lying and this deceit going on, and I'm not going to stand for it. And we all thought, shit, what a principled woman.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what happened. Nobody seems to know what happened. But there were one or two things that she did that were kind of irregular as mayor.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's got to be something that they're pinning all this rubbish on.
Otherwise, why would she have been found to have been in contravention?
Why would she have done a deal?
Resign? Why would she have done this deal behind closed doors? We don't know. But anyway, Patricia's not as squeaky clean as we all thought she was, which we should have known because no humans are perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, people are even tearing Madiba's legacy to pieces.
Cyril's son took money, and Trevor Gordon's daughter with thing, possibly.
So everyone
Frank Underwood touched everybody. You know, I mean, everyone's got something.
I mean, the one I was disgusted with I didn't expect was Weinstein. I mean, looks so salubrious.
Out of the blue, what a clean-cut human being.
By the way, I do want to get to something else on a totally different matter later on with you and talk to you about, like, Louis C.K. and all that shit, because
I would
want
to
know what you think. But here we've got Patricia now. So she's, after all of this, this tumultuous career.
Right.
She gets to the point, the terminus to which we've come.
Right.
Where she decides, hell, I'm going to start another new party.
At this age, I'm going to start again. Oh.
And it's called Good.
I mean, you know, get a branding person in. For God's sake, Good? Really? I mean, vote for Good.
And she launches it in Joburg.
That
was odd. In Houghton Estate, nochal.
You know
how expensive venues are in Cape Town at the moment, Gareth.
But what's she going for? I mean, Simi, what does she want here?
Who's her
electorate?
<don't>
Water. Who's her electorate?
I big announcement. I was like, well, this is it. This is going to be the dossier that's going to blow it all open.
I also thought the same thing when she was making a big announcement. I was like, she has something. And then she's like, it's a political party.
I'm
like, oh,
splintering
God.
The DA again. Okay. You know, it's a share dilution.
Yeah, that's
what
it is.
That's literally what it is.
She should have got Rupert in to make that. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm all tapped out. This has been a long year.
It's been long and just it's been grueling because very little juice has come out.
Yeah, and also...
We haven't had a good story.
We've been predated upon by everyone. Like, we've had to deal with how much we were ripped off by the Guptas. We've had Poloni...
Poloni was a killer. That was unfair.
Nasty,
I mean, how
shit
unfair
to us, really.
But I've never trusted Poloni, to be honest. I've always thought Poloni was a bit of a sneaky bastard. And then it came out and showed its true colors. But once again, the poor get it the worst. You know, why, God, why? You know, this is why I find atheism so comforting. Because why do the poor people, they pray so hard, and Poloni kills them in the end. It's so unfair. Horrible. You know,
it's desperate.
It's the meat everyone can have. We all like the flavor. It's sort of garlicky and sort of dubious, and you know, it's just.
All right, let's talk quickly about Louis C.K.
Let's talk about
since you're here. I mean, you guys are both.
Are we still talking about Louis C.K.?
Well, I want to know because I think that there has to be a period for people to, go through the stages of grief and figure out, like, they get angry, then they get sad, then they get depressed, then they come to terms with it. Yeah. And I do believe we've got to a stage with people like Louis C.K. who, I mean, he jerked off in front of a couple of people.
Yeah.
And Sarah Silverman even went on Howard Stern's show a while ago and said, Louis did it.
She led him.
She led him. Yeah. She said, go ahead, Louis, I want to see you jerk off, because she was kind of curious.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know in all of this, because Louis... There are a couple of allegations that he did this with women who weren't that keen.
Yes, he locked the door and stuff.
Right, and that's not good. I don't by any means condone it. Now, it's sad that you even have to make these kinds of obvious statements.
Right.
Because it shouldn't be necessary to say, I'm against Louis C.K. whipping his dick out
in front of
a woman who didn't ask for it.
Yes.
It should be, in Afrikaans, van selfsprekend.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to say it. But people are so dumb and they get so wound up. And they quote you out of context.
You have to
preempt and preface everything with a, I think this is wrong, but let's discuss it like adults.
Yes.
So should Louis be allowed to, this is such a talented man, should he be allowed back into society? Should we stop hounding people out into the wilderness and then letting them die these
But society hasn't
deaths?
Worked out a way yet. Like, personally, I feel that there's no recourse yet. Like, we haven't developed a way of going, okay, you've done something wrong. And you're not being charged with it, clearly. So you've gone away for a while. When do you come back? I just feel society wants to shame you.
You see, I disagree. We have worked that out. It's called the law. And it's supposed to work.
Like, no legal case has come up against him.
But,
so
then, but this is my whole point.
Therefore, he has nothing to answer.
This is my point. Is if a court hasn't found... that is exactly it. Harvey Weinstein, as far as I understand, I can't remember where it is, but there's some kind of legal action going on.
Yeah, there is an actual criminal case against
Bill Cosby's in jail.
Yes.
There are
consequences for actual perverts.
There's the law. And what's happened is Twitter has now become the court, and you know, like, idiots are allowed to make a decision. So and then, you know, some woman is allowed to say, he jerked off on the phone and I had to listen to him. No, you didn't, you stupid woman.
Put the phone down.
So sorry, but there is a system, and all we have to do is put him into the system and try him.
So when do you say, okay, cool, he said sorry, but is that enough?
What else do you want him to do?
No, but also what I'm asking is, why do you get to ask that question? Where's your law degree? I'm just asking. Like,
From the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
But have you practiced as a lawyer? Are you admitted to the judge's bench? What I'm trying to say is, now all become, you know, brand managers are making legal decisions. What? You work at Woolies. Calm down.
Well, social justice is not justice. That's the point. It's actually the opposite, because it's mob. This is you know, those guys who used to, during the French Revolution, they'd pitch up at some nobleman's castle.
Yes, and just...
And they'd set it on fire and
chop
then,
his head
and
off.
And take a pitchfork and
so
stab
the EFF
his wife.
So the EFF of the French castle.
Yes. No.
So this is what social justice is. It's not really justice at all, because we don't apply the rule equally. We're letting people who are completely underqualified and emotional and not necessarily in any way au fait with evidence... Or truth, or what kinds of proof you need in order to justifiably take someone out of society and put them in prison, for
example.
And there's a process. We've worked on this for thousands of years. It started with the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans, and we figured out somewhere along the way, this is the best thing about society, is that we don't find you guilty without evidence.
Yeah.
You can't just be attacked by the mob and sent away or killed or worse, just because people feel that about you.
But society also dictates the bonus mores of it.
Sure, but here's the thing that makes us great, is that we presume you're innocent until you're proven guilty. That's
but he doesn't have to prove it. But he's admitted it. So he doesn't need to be proven guilty.
But there's no... Then what guilt is there?
But that's what I'm saying. Society hasn't found a way to find a repercussion for this thing.
No, but it's more complicated than that. Because if you read like Yuval Harari's great new book about the 21 lessons for the 20... 12 lessons
for the 21st century, whatever it is.
En masse, people are being manipulated. Mm-hmm. Like, the narrative is being manipulated. That's what makes us like the winning apes, is that we have the ability to collectively believe narratives until they become reality. So whether it's a corporation or a currency, we believe things, we manifest them. A currency is nothing. It's just a group narrative that's believed enough. And so what's happened is there are people who are learning how to manipulate that. The Trump presidency or the Bell-Pottinger polarization of South Africa. So what is the difference? And what we are looking for on social media is like substance. We want to be activists. We want to be lawyers, and we are not. I'm a comedian, and you know, you're a comedian. You may have a law degree, but like we are not Judge Zondo. You know, these are the people who make this decision. And what the law does is
it doesn't alleviate you from an opinion, John.
No. It allows you to have an opinion, but that's all it is. Just because you have an opinion does not give you the right to be heard.
Simi, there are thousands of people on street corners before Twitter came along who would holler and scream, and we would ignore them and drive past.
I just
want
to understand is that
we give them a grant and a badge going, my name is Siri, I won't harm you, I just need to be taken home. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying that
we've overweighted opinion.
No, you can overweight an opinion, though, because that's what makes opinions differing from others. If someone has a shit opinion, someone has a better opinion.
No, but it's still an opinion.
Yeah, it is an opinion, but sometimes an opinion is more true than the other opinion next to it.
Yeah, but okay,
I'm not against your argument of when he should come back on stage. I think he should come back on stage, and people should allow him to be on stage.
Well, he is on stage. He's
he is. But I'm saying,
is he jerking off?
No. I'm saying the comedy seller has they've instituted like a weird rule for him that just like if someone sees him on stage and they're uncomfortable, they can leave and they get their money back. I'm saying that when does the repercussion stop? Because society just wants to shame a person and it doesn't end. So
I agree with that.
If CK is performing for the next 10 years,
there's got to be a moratorium.
Yes. Does he have to go? Does he have to be like, yo,
a moratorium on masturbators?
But just on that, like, so here's the thing, right? So what forces you to sit through a Louis CK performance?
Nothing.
Before he whacked off?
Nothing. You could leave. You could leave.
But this
yeah.
is my answer. People come to my show about racism and they get up and they walk out. Fine. No problem.
It's fine. No problem.
You don't need counseling. Mm. You've just had a reaction. Like this thing of
and
being
that's,
offended.
I agree with you.
You know, like no one sexually assaulted you. You know, like,
you can jump up and leave at any moment.
You can go and elect to watch someone whack off in a public gathering.
Yeah, there are cam shows. I mean,
porn makes the internet work.
This is the point, right? I mean, we're choosing. We're very selective about what we think is acceptable mm-hmm. offense.
Yes.
And what we think is unacceptable offense.
Yeah, and it shifts with the narrative.
I don't see people complaining about, like, I don't find Amy Schumer very funny. I wouldn't go to her shows.
Yes.
And most of her, you know, her jokes about, like, how she's having sex with this guy and that guy and she eats this and it's just revolting. It's like, to me, that's not comedy.
It's just off-putting.
But what do I know? I'm not as talented as she is because she draws a much bigger crowd and she's very successful. She's been in a lot of movies, but I don't have to go to her and I similarly don't have to shut her down.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't go around saying, yeah, because Amy Schumer makes a lot of dick jokes.
Yes.
I think she's offensive to men and she must be shut down.
Yes, like you can't.
She's drawing her crowd. I don't have to be in it. You always have. And this was always my problem on radio too, since you brought up radio earlier. My problem with radio was always that there was a small minority of people who used to decide what was and wasn't acceptable for the rest of us, which meant that if that small minority won the argument, the rest of us wouldn't even have the chance to choose.
Yeah, and what is the agenda of that minority?
Like, usually just attention.
You know, you mentioned Calvinism earlier. Why should that be the criteria? And it has been for so long. You know, this is why young, you know, my daughter's friends are like redefining stuff. And it's beautiful to watch. You know, it's because of us that transgender people have not had a place to piss. I mean, who made that call? You know, like if you're not sure who you are, you're not allowed to piss in public. Fuck you. You're not pissing in. You must go home and piss in your own fluid gender toilets. Don't come here. Never mind. We the people. So I find that so interesting. And honestly, as I learn more and actually study, I understand how unjustified giving people a platform can be sometimes.
Yeah, not everybody deserves a platform.
No.
Everybody should have
the opportunity.
You can have
a voice, sure.
But not everyone deserves to be taken seriously.
You have to listen
to
you.
Just because you have a voice.
Just because you're talking. No. You know, that's stupid. Not everyone is a lead vocalist. There's lots of people in the choir. You know?
That's a good analogy.
There's lots of people in the choir and choirs are shit. I'm sorry, but you know, I have never ever watched a choir and thought, oh my God, everyone in this group is a genius.
Amazing.
There's a generally pleasing sound, but it's not. It's not like I'm listening to 400 Jimmy Pages here. There's one Jimmy Page. That's it. There's one. That's what makes him special.
So Louis should be given a chance now to come back and to not be. I mean, can you imagine how that affects your comedy?
But you see, here's the thing. So there's an award-winning South African fine artist who murdered a prostitute. I'm sure you remember the story.
Who was that?
A young artist who's become a superstar in the international art market. And I wish I could remember his name.
Okay.
But a troubled man, and he murdered a prostitute, and he was found guilty, and now he's in jail, and now his work is being kind of written off as the work of a deranged mind. How do we balance the rights due to this man to Louis C.K.? You see, there's an interesting ethical debate around this. But on the one hand, Louis C.K. was never found guilty of something, and this man was found guilty of murder.
Is this an artist from Cape Town?
I can't remember, but
Zwelithini Mthethwa.
Yes, yes. I think that's exactly who it is. And by all accounts, was going to be one of the greatest South African artists ever.
Sure.
At a young age. But
so we lose. You see, because I mean, also you do find that genius and lunacy are good neighbors.
Sure.
Or at the very least neighbors. They're not always good neighbors.
Yeah.
And sometimes people will slip over into the one when they're very much in the other camp. And I think that that's a thing about talent too, right? And I don't want to make special exceptions because I've always thought if Michael Jackson had written a few more Billie Jeans, I'd have given him my child, frankly. And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but to have a Billie Jean song it's an artifact of humanity. Whereas making children seems
are
to
you
be
saying
a,
you can just make more?
Be, yeah, yeah, it seems to be a you sustainable
can,
resource.
You can plop out you know? More. Just, well, here's a question. You see, if you're prepared to sacrifice your children for Billie Jean songs.
Obviously, yes. A tongue firmly lodged in cheek. I don't have children. No, and if I did, I probably wouldn't talk like this.
No, but I think we should extend that because so many people are prepared not to sacrifice their own children, but other people's children so they can have an iPhone or a pair of Nikes. So
it's worse than that, John. I had lunch yesterday with someone who is putting together an incredible NGO operation which right. will help people, and this is very serious. I don't want to go down a dark and depressing route.
Yes.
Yet, but she's busy putting together a program where she's going to be making rape kits available to just millions of people, and I think right. it's a brilliant idea.
Yep.
But the reason she's doing this is because she went to a shelter for children. She met three little kids whose grandparents are making them do porn that they're selling on the internet.
Whoa.
We've got people like that in the world.
Yeah.
And then we've got like Louis C.K. who, you know, does this or...
Yeah.
You know, to me, there is just absolutely... To a lot of people, you're either in the bad category, you're a bad person.
Yes.
Or you're in a good person category. There's no nuance.
Yeah.
And everybody's a little bit bad and everybody's a little bit good. But people seem to forget this.
So perhaps what we do then is we try and all be more supportive of the judiciary and the health of the legal system rather than become the individual judges of these cases. Because that's the one thing in this country is the judiciary is actually pretty strong.
Yeah.
And there is a great constitution. So we have an intelligent legal system.
Yeah.
And I met with Edwin Cameron I got to interview him for 15 minutes, which was incredible. and he reassured me that the judiciary was in a great, great shape.
It is. It's people actually don't understand it the most, that our judiciary is actually fantastic compared to other countries.
This Mokgweng Mokgweng, who
I mean,
was elected as Chief Justice, or appointed as Chief Justice by Jacob Zuma.
Yes.
Jacob Zuma thought he had a stooge.
Fantastic.
And this
shot
guy came
in his
out
own
of,
foot.
Man, he came out of the what do you call it? The dressing room he came out with his boxing gloves on. And
I have the tiger playing. Yeah. I mean, it was just.
Anyway.
This is the one time when I've seen a guy who I thought was a religious nut talk. And I thought, oh my word, maybe this Jesus guy's got something. I mean.
If Mokgweng supports him, he must
Mokgweng.
Be worth, give him a second look.
I have to say, he was a real treat. Mokgweng, yeah, what a great surprise.
So you interviewed these guys. Are you doing a series of interviews? Are you doing, what's this for?
No, it's really silly. I got to do the Kalula guest editorship, and they said you can interview anyone you want, and I was like, bingo, this is my chance. So
that's
I've
fantastic.
Always wanted to meet Edwin Cameron.
Is it on now?
No, it was a while ago. But
okay.
What a great man. Just in 15 minutes we had the best conversation ever, and he's just so polite, so humble, just like really it was weird. I had to say to him that I just needed to tell him that I'm so glad he's been around while I'm raising a child. I needed to tell her about this man. But he reminded me that the judiciary. And then after that, there were so many great judgments that were kind of were given, and they just seemed to keep coming back with the voice of reason, you know. So I think we should be more supportive of the judiciary and the legal system, and let them make the call. You know, the more good judges we have, the better.
Concurred.
Yeah.
He concurs. There we go. My colleague concurs. Yeah. Look at us two comedians giving you our legal opinion. It's all going so well here.
All right, well, listen to this. Simi is performing with Riyad Musa and Friends, 22nd of December at Suncoast.
Yeah, at Suncoast Casino at the Globe.
That's right, featuring Celeste Ntuli, who we love. Chris Forrest, we love. Joey Razdin, we love. Dumiso Lindi, we love. And you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very nice.
Nice
dude.
Lineup.
You have your own podcast called Lesser Known Somebodies. How's that doing?
Oh, it's doing great. It's doing great. I'm still upset that you still don't want to be on it. And John, I would love for you to
be on
it.
You are joking, dude.
No, I'm not.
You are really. That is a joke. I'm a gatekeeper. So
it doesn't matter. I don't mind if you're a gatekeeper.
Let me explain this. There's beef.
There's no beef between myself and John.
Well,
Fismas.
John says otherwise.
There is never beef because you're never brave enough to bring it up around me, dude.
Ooh, what do you mean? I'm around you now.
Yeah, and you're not bringing it up. You're like, ooh.
No, not at
Your
all.
Your glasses are steaming up. I object. Overruled. Shut the fuck up.
I have no bad feelings about John, even if though John is a gatekeeper.
The point is, it doesn't.
But I don't mind people being gatekeepers. I just rather say that you're a gatekeeper.
You know what it is, dude? You need to build a gate, and then you must. Then you can talk about.
I don't think you need to build anything. I say, I don't mind having gatekeepers in my industry. Just say that you're a gatekeeper. So he's done it, so I have no beef with him.
No, but I think ultimately talking about gatekeepers means you've given up. This is what irks me. You need to make some progress.
No, I don't think it's me and I've given up.
I think he's not going to go on your podcast.
But I would love to at least... Okay, you don't have to be on my podcast, but I would love to at least have a conversation.
So what did you mean? Tell me. Just pretend John's not in the room and tell me.
I just felt that people at some stage were getting... as progress, as John says, more progress than others because they had better connections and networks. It wasn't a thing based on talent.
Okay, but this sounds to me like that bullshit about the patriarchy that I often hear.
No, I don't think it was that.
Okay,
I think it's tough to wrap up in two minutes because I know you have another hour.
That's fine.
That's great.
We can go on all day.
And don't be nervous. I'm all about dissonance. I love robust debate.
And guess what? I'm a gatekeeper here, so I can do what I want.
Yes, I know.
All right, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
John... I remember seeing him when I was on campus. This is a very long time ago.
400 years ago.
And he was telling jokes and he just started out in the industry and no one was gatekeeping or holding him back or pushing him forward or doing anything. And what's happened in comedy in this country, and from an outside point of view here, I'm not in it like you guys are, right? I just love funny, talented people and I love laughing about ourselves and I love the fact that you guys hold up this mirror to us and we all end up looking like assholes some of the time and heroes some of the time. I love what you guys do. I'm an admirer from a distance. But what I've seen in South Africa is that there's been this explosion. Like over the last 20 years, comedy's become a thing. There are people who are earning money where there was no industry before. And it's phenomenal to me. I think it's great. People like John, like David, like, Kagiso, these guys who've worked hard behind the scenes for years. I'm not saying you haven't. You've worked very hard. But the fact is, this has all come out of nowhere. It's like these kids on YouTube who are earning money for reviewing toys.
Which we don't understand, but it just works. Yeah.
Dude, this is when people say, you know, that there are no jobs available. You make jobs. This guy's made jobs. You've made yourself a job. They're no gatekeepers. You really think that?
I think I can tell you one thing.
He's a powerful man in comedy, but
I don't disagree. And
every,
I think,
but I've also given away my shares in the business that I started.
I know. I've heard.
I'm not in it anymore.
I know. I've stopped. I think this is all based around an Instagram post I posted like a year and a bit ago, right? Where it didn't go in depth, and I explained that to everybody. So if you listen to the podcast, listen on Summaries, you probably find out more about it. But I've never. John is the first person that actually put me on stage.
So then what's
that didn't make it to the post.
But you know what I think it is?
And really it's not a there's no disagreement. I think it's about when I started there was no structure.
Yes.
And so we had to build a structure and you become protective because you build assets. And if you know anything about business, you would be an idiot to build and then give away assets.
Assets, yes.
However, at the age of 46, what I have got tired of is I love doing comedy. I'm doing less of it. I'm doing more high quality work. So I'm doing less of it. I still do open spots. I did a little thing last night. But I am not interested anymore in the politics of it. And that's why I've given away the shares.
And it has become so political. I mean, you hear people...
It's bigger than me and it's bigger than all of us.
Because the stakes are suddenly so high. Yeah. I mean, it used to be that you might not get
booked.
And
I know this sounds... This wouldn't sound weird, but that's the reason why I've stopped doing a majority of club gigs. Like now I'll focus on doing high quality shows.
But why would a comedian not do club gigs? I think that's weird.
No, I just find that I enjoy being on stage for a longer period of time. So what I do now is that I'll do once, twice, three times a month, at least like an hour on stage at different places.
Yeah, it's good to get longer stage time.
Yeah.
But I was in Australia with Robbie Collins and I learned, he taught me. And it's funny because you and him came to that show together years ago in Hillcrest. Robbie taught me a lesson in how to construct a 5-minute set that I learned that when I was in Australia. I'm like, should I have forgotten how to do 5 minutes? So there's a value to an hour, but there's also value to a five, there's a value to a seven.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But
I agree.
There's a lot of new gatekeepers coming.
Yes.
And from overseas. And they've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I'm
tons of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's gonna pour like petrol on the South African comedy like fire and all the different flavor. I've just been in Mozambique with Eugene Khoza, who I haven't worked with for years.
He's a great human.
Dude, you know, that guy he's very funny.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, I went for lunch with him. We just sat and talked shit for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
He's the best person to do that with.
And he's a real, like a soulful guy.
Mm. Yeah, he is. I said to Taff that he talks a lot.
Yes.
But he's one of the few people where he can talk a lot and you don't get exhausted.
You want to listen to him.
Yeah, whereas normally if someone talks that much in an hour, I'm like, I'm yawning internally. Like, I just want to kill myself.
And I think John's saying that's the end of the podcast.
Oh, man. I just would really love to have John Christmas as a guest.
Well, it's not going to happen. Well,
I'm still going to ask. You know, I'm still going to ask.
You're more than welcome to ask, man.
Don't talk to me. Talk to my lawyer. No, all right, listen, you two. It's been terrific to spend the morning with you. John, thanks for coming for the Burning Platform this morning.
Thank you.
Always good to connect with you.
Always good.
It's funny, every time you come here, we talk about different stuff. Simi, always nice to see you, dude.
Thank you so much, guys.
And you know what? I hope you two can look each other in the eye after this.
I have nothing but admiration
for John Flissmas. He gave me my first stage.
So there we go. Okay. Wow.
Him and Glenn Bowe. Wonderful
comedians.
Wow,
you're doing so well, and then you just had to go and...
I knew that one would get it.
And then you went and spoiled it all by saying like something stupid.
Like Glenn Bowe.
Well, all right.
Goodness.
John is going to give whatever he has left to Simi.
I will. That's what I'm giving you this redistribution of comedy.
Thank you so much.
This is a redistribution of comedy, which is what we're talking about this morning. All right, thanks, everybody.
What a morning.
Big thank you to our guest who wasn't in the room, Johan Rupert, and we will see you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rupert.
We'll
thank you
tomorrow.
So much.
It was a pleasure. I was just quietly sitting here minding my own business. Very nice to invite me.
No problem. Thank you so much. All right.
Anthony Hamilton is next.
Yes, Anthony Hamilton, the very popular R&B singer. He's called the King of Soul by a whole lot of people who love his music, and I am a fan of his music too. Mm. He's very, very popular here in South Africa and in the US. He lives in North Carolina most of the time, but he's in SA for a big festival, which we'll tell you about in a moment or two. All of that and more on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.